Reading comes to us from Matthew, the last chapter, 28, page 1550, the Great Commission. So it's Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These are the words of the Lord.
Authority. This message has been one that I've been pondering on for a while. And when I went to the conference in Edmonton about growing the church in the power of the Spirit, it became clear to me that this message is for all people. This message was also examined by two pastors, and I was given a blessing to present it to the congregation. So we'll start with the basic. What is authority? A simple definition is that authority is the legal and moral right to exercise power, power that is rightly possessed. Let me repeat that. Authority is the legal and moral right to exercise power, power that is rightly possessed. Brad already alluded in the children's message that God created heaven and earth and everything in it. He has all authority and all power. God has power that is rightly possessed, and he has the right to exercise this power. And so you need to keep this in mind as we progress through the message. In the bulletin, there are lists of people to do certain jobs. The coffee makers have the authority to make strong or weak coffee, but it is their moral duty to do it right. The same with the ushers, the lift operators, the nursery attendants, the Sunday school teachers, the greeters, and the welcome home family. They have been given the right to exercise authority and given responsibility. Parents have authority over their children legally, as their child's names are recorded in the government records. And they have the moral right to feed and clothe their children. Parents also have the power to discipline their children. Authority and power go hand in hand. When you open a bank account, you receive the authority to write checks, deposit, take out cash. You have control over your account. You are responsible to keep the balance in the black. This power is yours. You may at this point ask where all this is leading. I ask you to bear with me as I explain a few more points before we get to the message, to the main part of it. Are there qualifications to obtain authority? Yes. Teachers need years of schooling before they can teach and have authority over their students. Principals need a master's degree before they can have authority and rule over the whole school. Ordained pastors need years of learning and go through rigorous exams before they can preach God's word and lead congregations. Before I became treasurer of this church, I had to know that 1 + 1 = 2, and how to turn the computer off and on. That was my qualification. In Matthew 7, verse 29, we read that Jesus taught as one with authority. He knew what he was talking about, and he was direct in his teaching. The answers he gave to the Pharisees astounded them, and the people sensed that Jesus has authority. When Jesus spoke, people listened. When we go to lectures or seminars, the speaker should have knowledge of what he or she is talking about, or the audience will soon lose interest. Jesus had his audience spellbound, and crowds followed him everywhere. And when Jesus began healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, raising people from the dead, he was confronted with the question, by whose authority are you doing these things? So that brings us to another point. Who gives authority? When elections are held, men and women are voted in by the general public to be our MP or MLA. We as citizens give them authority to make decisions, but they then have the moral right to exercise their power to rule the country justly. When a club or society elects members to the board, to the executive, they have the right to make decisions. The treasurer receives authority to write checks and handle monies. And when a person passes a driver's test, it is the tester who signs the paper to let you have a legal driver's license. When a person is applying for a job, it is the employer that gives the authority for the okay to work. Now we come to our text. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. Who gave this authority? God, the creator of the universe, the ruler of all things, gives this authority to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus obeyed his Father to die on the cross to redeem all people from their sins. Jesus obeyed his Father, who has authority over a son. We too are to obey those in authority over us. Children are to obey their parents. We are to obey the laws of the land. We need to abide by the rules of the people we work for. We need to obey. If Jesus did not obey his Father, we as a people would be lost forever. So you can have the sense that obedience is very important. You can only imagine what would happen if drivers did not stop at stop signs and nobody paid their taxes. You would not be able to live in peace. So what does Jesus do with his authority? Let's read verse 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Jesus gives us authority. Yes, we have the authority to make disciples of all nations. Are we going to accept this authority? First, you have to be a disciple, one who truly loves Jesus, one who cares for the person that sits next to you in church. We have to start with ourselves to be a disciple to our fellow church members, to be eager to eat bread together and wash each other's feet, to be not only a disciple on Sunday, but every day of the week, uplifting each other and praising God. We need to hold each other accountable. Are we eager to gain authority and power? This authority that Jesus gives us, is that too much? That is why everyone should obey. We have already stated earlier that obedience is very important. When everyone uses this authority to make disciples, the angels in heaven will rejoice. You say, I can't do this great task. I'm too old, I'm too tired, I have no time, I'm not qualified. I give to the budget to pay people to do the job, or whatever reason that you give for an excuse. Well, you can get rid of your excuses, as the last lines in our text read, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus, your boss, the one who gives you authority, promises to work alongside of you. When your boss works with you, the job gets done. If you have any questions or problems, the boss is handy. Or is it intimidating to have Jesus as your boss? The promise of being with you always is an encouragement. The Holy Spirit hovers over us in every step. And you may be pleasantly surprised how the Holy Spirit works when you are fully engaged in discipling one another. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This fact alone is an encouragement for everyone to obey Jesus' command to make disciples of all nations. As a church that has committed itself to renewal, let us go out and make disciples of all people, starting with ourselves. We need to nurture each other, and Jesus will be our partner as we obey this command. Jesus has given us the authority to make disciples. Let's exercise this power. And all God's people say, Amen.